It's 7:30 in the morning and the sky is just turning light across Blue Hill Avenue in Mattapan. Angela Mostreda has yet to get her morning coffee, but another part of her routine has started. She's boarding a trolley and beginning her commute to work.
I take the trolley to Ashmont to Andrew to the number 10.
Angela lives in Mattapan and works in South Boston. By car, a 30-minute commute. By public transit, an hour and 5 minutes each way.
The waiting for the bus takes the longest. The train and trolley is not bad.
Sitting behind us is Talia Imparo, who also lives in Mattapan and takes a T to high school.
I have to take the bus and the trolley, then the train.
When I say that sounds like a lot of connections, she shrugs and says she's used to it, then goes back to her music. Angela and Talia represent part of the 180,000 residents who live in Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan, who rely on public transit for jobs, school, medical appointments, shopping, and government services, but who, according to a recent study, don't have convenient access to rapid transit. The state has pumped $200 million into a massive renovation of the Fairmont commuter line, which runs through Hyde Park, Dorchester, Mattapan, and Roxbury to South Station. Boston mayoral candidate Marty Walsh has praised the Fairmont line.
Certainly the Fairmont extension into Dorchester through Hyde Park into Dorchester has been very helpful and very supportive.
Walsh says the Fairmont line presents an opportunity to get people where they need to go and also to boost business, jobs, and development around the station stops. Rick Domino, the president of A Better City, says a lot of attention is being given to the Fairmont line.
The good news is that there's new stations that have opened there. The good news is that the land use and development and housing opportunities along that corridor are getting seriously examined. But you know what? That line is going to operate like a commuter rail line, and that community really deserves something that's more like a rapid transit line.
Walsh, for his part, wants to provide more bus service.
We also got to look at additional bus service and bus lines and more frequent bus lines. And the way we do that as mayor of the city of Boston to work with the MassDOT and the MBTA to make sure we get that additional service.
Funding for transportation isn't directly in the mayor's control, but Walsh, who's a former state lawmaker, says he'll call upon his relationships within the state legislature and the congressional delegation to secure the funding necessary to expand transportation services, especially for people in low-income communities of color.
I mean, the relationships I have right now with my colleagues and certainly leverage my relationships with the congressional delegation. You know, both Congressman Lynch and Congressman Capuano have endorsed my candidacy for mayor, and I think leverage that relationship as well to try and increase funding and work with them to try and convince their colleagues in Washington the importance of additional funds to Boston.
Boston's transportation problems travel well past public transit. If you drive into the city and try to park, you know how expensive and frustrating it can be. Under Mayor Tom Menino's rule, Boston has relaxed requirements that parking be built with every new residence. For example, a luxury condominium being proposed next to TD Garden would not include any parking. Earlier this year, a proposal for a 50-unit building in Alston with no parking generated community opposition, and similar conflicts have broken out in Charlestown, South Boston, and the Back Bay. Walsh says the city should reduce parking requirements for new developments, but only in some cases.
I've supported projects in my district as an elected official around transit-oriented housing development with zero parking. It works, I think, but when you're looking at other parts of the city, it depends on really what the public transportation infrastructure is there, and it's really going to be on a, I don't want to say case by case, but more like a community by community basis.
In another effort to discourage driving, some economists are proposing a fee for residential parking permits. Walsh says he doesn't want to charge for residential permits. He says drivers already pay enough as it is, and while it's a good goal to get people to rely on public transit or bikes, it's not realistic.
But, you know, some people do have to drive their car to work. Some of the underserved neighborhoods of the MBTA, for example, if people don't have a good public transit system, they unfortunately have to drive themselves into work.
Walsh says there are other proposals to consider when thinking about parking and congestion.
I think one thing is by using light technology. Like, for instance, this morning as I was heading in town, a trip that probably should have taken 15 minutes from my house to State House took about 45. And a lot of it's on the timing of the lights. And I think we have to look at the technology we use in the city of Boston to possibly use smart lights where we can. In some cases, they do have it. but to be able to time them differently in the morning so we can move traffic smoother in the city of Boston.
In the meantime, it wouldn't hurt to be more like commuter Jay Funley. Funley takes the Mattapan trolley to the Red Line every morning. When he notices me checking my watch, he motions for me to look out the window instead. The Neponset Marshes lie to the south.
There's a short part of the Mattapan trolley when you're looking out over marshland, and especially in the morning, the sun is rising up over it. It's really a beautiful sight.
It's a good lesson for this Boston commuter. I'm Sarah Birnbaum, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.